Someone suggested that currying the favor of God or the gods is still the biggest business on earth. It's what we call religion. Now, if that's so, then in spite of apparent indifference, salvation remains the biggest item on earth and the biggest business. So don't be surprised at the counterfeits. Jesus saw it firsthand. Religion had become an act. It was show and status. They worked hard at pomp and parade. They demanded submission to human authority and interpretation. Self reigned supreme. It was a burden, not a blessing. They mingled greed with ethics. They adopted the splendor of the elite. They were performers. They believed it all counted for righteousness. Now, external rites are not all bad. Many are necessary. But the best they can do is produce nominal Christians, not real ones. It takes inward regeneration. There's more to it than joining a denomination. In fact, denominational history makes for sad reading. It's a story of organizations that often have been bent and twisted by a world system. They have adopted policies favorable to public recognition. New Testament directives are often compromised, and church history has not produced one single perfect exception. The burden of the gospel has been and is to lead people to the cross, where we all stand, everyone equally, with head bowed and spirit broken, nothing in our hands we bring, simply to the cross we cling. We discover there our spiritual depravity. We embrace his righteousness. It's here he speaks to the human heart, forgiveness, acceptance, and pardon. We are gripped by his love. We are challenged to live our lives in his service, not in duty, but in love. That, sir, that lady, is the Christian experience. Nothing else will do. It's the old, old story, and later Pastor Fred Penny will bring his message, Religion or Righteousness. May I never lose the wonder is the song, so let's hear it.
Oh, precious sight, my Savior stands, dying for me with outstretched hands. Oh, precious sight, I love to gaze, remembering salvation's day, remembering salvation's day. Oh, my eyes linger on the scene, may passing time and years not steal of its mystery.
Sin and death.
speechless, watching what I have lost. May I never lose the wonder, the wonder of the cross.
For nearly 70 years now, Elam Tabernacle has shared the greatest story ever told. And in an age of rapid change, the good news of the gospel remains ever constant and as relevant as tomorrow's headlines. It costs several hundred dollars each Sunday to deliver this program to you, a cost that for all these years have been borne just by the local congregation right here. But the old, old story has now become a province-wide ministry and heard through other means in many parts of the world. In fact, some listeners in some parts of our province indicate that it's the only church they now have. So if the old, old story is a special part of your week, we'd like to give you the opportunity to partner with us with any offering you can manage, or maybe by even sponsoring a broadcast in your name, or to honor a loved one in a special way, or maybe just anonymously. You can be a part of the story, whatever means you prefer, mail, credit card, or check. Just call 579-9678. And you can tell us how you wish to contribute. That's 579-9678, now or any time during the week in office hours. And leave us a note of your need, will you? We would love to pray for you. Scientists say no sounds ever die. They just keep traveling in space. E.M. Bounds, whose classic writings on prayer have inspired people for generations, said, "Prayers are deathless. Prayers live on before God, and God's heart is set on them. Prayers outlive the lives of those who uttered them. They outlive generations. They outlive worlds." Now, have you ever wondered if your prayers, particularly those that have been birthed out of difficulty and pain and suffering, ever make it to God? If you read in Revelation chapter 8, the setting is in heaven, the throne room of God, the control center of the universe. Angelic attendants stand in God's presence, and one angel, it says there, offers him incense along with the prayers of all of God's people. Friend, your prayers have made it to God. They haven't been lost in transit or forgotten. And what we see there in that scripture compels us to persist in our praying, for our prayers are precious to God. Come and let us serve you, praying for your need today, 579-9678. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. What a great old song. Let's sing.
How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his sin. It makes the wounded sweet.
We always want to remind you that if you live anywhere in the area of 565 Kenmount Road here in St. John's, and you're looking for a place to belong, a church fellowship for your family, we'd love to have you join with us. There's a place for the entire family here at Elam. 579-9678 is the number you can call, and we'll make sure you're given regular updates on all that's happening right here. Pastor Fred Penny has chosen for his theme today, Religion or Righteousness. He's ready right after we sing this song. Is religion to you a blessing or a burden? Is it duty or devotion? The answer might lie in the answer to this question. Is the accent on externals or is it internal? Religion or righteousness is the theme. And here's your radio pastor, Pastor Fred Penny.
Well, good morning, Radio Church. It's time for another chapter in the old, old story, the story that never gets old. This is Pastor Fred Penny from Elam Pentecostal Tabernacle here on Kenmount Road in St. John's. And if you are within driving distance, come and join us at Elam Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Now, this message today is from Philippians chapter 3. It's one of Paul's most autobiographical and transparent passages in the entire letter. The letter of Philippians, as you know by now, is all about the joy of the Lord and rejoicing in the goodness of God. So let me read a few verses now from Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Paul says this, "It is no trouble for me to write to you the same things again. Rejoice in the Lord," says Paul. And then he talks about religion. And he says, "Put no confidence in the flesh. Put no confidence in religious performance," is what he means here, of course. And then Paul tells, you know what? If anyone could put confidence in the flesh or in religious obedience and religious piety, it would be me, says Paul. "I was, after all, circumcised on the eighth day, according to religious habits of Judaism. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, the people of Israel. I am," he says, "a Hebrew of Hebrews." In other words, he is of the upper crust. He is the best of the best. He says, "In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee." In other words, a strict observer of the law. And as for zeal, Paul says, "Well, I had so much zeal that I actually persecuted Christians, thinking I was doing zealous work for God and protecting the understanding of God and our religion. I persecuted the church." And he says, "As according to righteousness based on the law," Paul says, "I was without fault." But something happened. In verse 7, Paul says, "Wait a minute, what I thought were gains or pluses for me, I now consider them losses for the sake of Christ." What happened to change Paul's perspective? What happened to change the Apostle Paul from a believer in religious performance as a means of pleasing God and earning God's favor to no longer thinking that way, but now looking at life and relationship with God a totally different way. What changed? You see, Paul was putting his hope in religion. But religion is impossible to bring us to God. We can never earn our way to God. And so in this book about joy and rejoicing in the goodness of God, Paul actually finds out now that religion is a killjoy. Yes, religion is a killjoy. You may have found the same thing in your own life. You tried to be religious and you found that religion can't satisfy you, and that religious habit and practice cannot actually bring you closer to God. So what happened? And what do we all need to realize? Well, the Apostle Paul says this: the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That's what made the difference. Coming to know Jesus. Paul says, I no longer now have a righteousness of my own that comes from obeying the law or from being religious, but now I have a righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. This is the big shift from religion to gospel, from religion to knowing Christ for ourselves. Religion is a killjoy. Yes, it is. We can never live up to those standards. And of course, we need to find that righteousness cannot be found in ourselves. Righteousness is a gift that we receive by faith in Christ. This is the power of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, that we don't earn our way to God. We receive righteousness from God by faith in Him. Now, Paul not only had the realization that religion was a killjoy, but Paul also realized that regret would steal him of his joy. You see, Paul had regrets about how he lived in his old way of life. Paul said, I went around persecuting the church. Paul had a past. Paul had a kind of an ugly and messy past. And maybe you and I do as well. We all have a past. We all have baggage. We all have regret. And if we live in the past, and if we let the regret eat us up inside, it will steal us of our joy and will keep us from experiencing the joy of the Lord that He offers us. So Paul now says, I have a whole new perspective. Verse 10 of this chapter, chapter 3, he says this: I want to know Christ, not to know how to be a good religious person, but to know Christ in a personal way, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. See, Paul now is moving from religion to righteousness, and he's moving from regret to hope. He's looking forward. He wants to be like Christ. He says, I want to know Christ in power. I want to know His resurrection power in my life, that power that changes things and changes me. And he said, I also want to suffer for Christ, because when I suffer for Christ, I participate, as it were, I identify with Christ. And as I do that, I know Him better. I come closer to Him. And Paul now, of course, has a measure of humility. Earlier in the chapter, he says, you know what? I was faultless and I was full of zeal. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. But now Paul has a humility. In verse 12, he says this: I haven't already obtained all this. I have not already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Paul now wants to draw near to Christ. He wants to know Christ. That's his ambition. In verse 13, he says this: I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul is interested in serving Christ and knowing Christ. You know, if religion was a bunch of do's and don'ts, it would be pretty unattractive. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to draw near to Him. I want to follow His leading. You know, in our culture today, people are turned off by religion. Paul also came to a place where he was turned off by religion. See, the culture we live in today, people will say, yeah, you know, I'm not attracted by religion. Religion sounds like it's all about guilt and duty and do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. See, today, religion is out and spirituality is in. Well, spirituality really must be identified in the person of Jesus Christ. We were made in the image of God, and we were made to know God, our Creator, and God has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And so to know God, we must come to know Christ. And this is what Paul is saying here in verse 10. I want to know Christ, His power, the resurrection power. I want to know him better. I want to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. Verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, Paul is interested in the future. He's not going to live in the past. He wants to live in the future and pursue Christ. There is life in knowing Christ. There is joy in knowing Christ. Paul has his eyes on the reward. Paul has his eyes on the future. He says, I want to press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul is aware of eternity. Paul is aware of eternal life is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Tim Keller writes about how we substitute false gods for the true and living God. He says this. He says, sin isn't only doing bad things. It's more fundamentally about making good things into ultimate things. Sin, he says, is building your life and meaning on anything more than on God. Whatever we build our lives on will drive us and enslave us. Sin, at its very core, is idolatry. If you center your life on money and possessions, you'll be eaten up by worry or jealousy about money, and who has more than you might. You'll be willing to do unethical things to maintain your lifestyle. If you center your life on pleasure and comfort, you will find yourself getting addicted to something. You will be chained to the escape strategies that help you avoid the harshness of life. If you center your life and identity on relationships and the approval of people, you will be constantly hurt by criticism, and you'll always be losing friends. You will fear confronting others, and that will lead to a shallow life. If you center your life on a noble cause, you will divide the world into good and bad and demonize your opponents. And ultimately, you'll be controlled by your enemies. Yes, we need to look to Christ. We need to follow after him. This is what the Apostle Paul is teaching us to do. You know, there's a man in Chicago a number of years ago named Lee Strobel. Lee Strobel was an atheist, and he was a journalist with the Chicago Tribune. His wife started going to church, and she became a believer. And Lee thinks she's crazy. So he begins his journalistic investigation into the truth claims of Christianity. He talks to scholars. He does his homework. He does his research. And he became a believer in Jesus. He realized after thorough study and research that Christianity is true. That Jesus is true, that Jesus is alive and well, and he rose from the dead. Now, if you're a skeptic today, I would invite you to read Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, or The Case for Faith, or The Case for the Resurrection. He's written a number of these books now, and they've become bestsellers. You see, righteousness is not found in religion. Righteousness is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Religion is a killjoy. We can rejoice in the righteousness of Christ. I refer you to Philippians chapter 3. I invite you to read this book, read this chapter, and open your heart to Jesus. Not because he is a religious follower or religious leader, but because he is the Son of God risen from the dead. Sometimes in Newfoundland culture, we understand being a Christian with rules, certain habits, certain traditions. And then the younger generation will come along and say, I don't like your rules. Your rules are old-fashioned. And they reject Christianity and they reject Jesus because they associate the gospel with rules. But Paul here understood the difference. He moved away from religion and he says this now. I'll read it again. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from obeying laws, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God to me on the basis of faith. This is good news. We can rejoice, not in our righteousness. We can rejoice in his righteousness. You see, friends, religion is a killjoy, but we can rejoice in his righteousness given to us as a gift. Now, to receive this righteousness, we need to have a conversation with God. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess faith in him. This is what the Bible teaches us. I invite you to join me now in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm tired of trying to earn my way to righteousness. I confess that I've misunderstood the gospel as a religion of do's and don'ts, of trying to achieve a righteousness of my own. I now understand that righteousness is a gift that I receive by faith in Jesus Christ. I receive your righteousness now. Come into my heart, come into my life, and change me from the inside out. This I pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Just as I am without one plea, but that
You've been tuned to the Old, Old Story, and we'd be happy to receive your prayer need now, 579-9678. Maybe you have found yourself trying, just trying, going through acts of religion and faith. You've tried to improve your Sunday attendance. You've contributed. You've observed good traditions. You've been faithful in church duties. You've been just in your dealings. You have a sensitive conscience. You haven't hurt anybody. Your denomination has done all it could, but in the deep chasm of your soul, you feel bare. You feel poverty-ridden. There's a sense of moral failure. You're not at peace with yourself. You don't feel you're at peace with God. Friend, without the inner, all the outer is meaningless. We all need more than a certificate of baptism. We need a regenerated life that is made possible by genuine repentance. And when we embrace His overwhelming forgiveness, His colossal strength in our lives changes everything. There is a contentment in a conscious, personal, loving union with Jesus. What greater peace than the satisfaction of knowing that your sins are forgiven? You're at peace with God. What better experience than to realize fellowship with God's Son? What peace can surpass it? The blessed assurance multiplies. It never diminishes. The witness within becomes more compulsive. It's been wonderful these past 30 minutes with you. We've enjoyed it all. So Ivan Butler now reminding you again to join us back here next week at the same time, same station, the Lord willing, for the Old, Old Story. And your confidence will increase by the day. If you become convinced with us that His grace will be sufficient for you.